Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Book Cast, the official podcast of filmbook.com. My name is Mike Smith, and joining me, as always, is a man who will have to explain to me how the Terminator timeline makes any kind of goddamn sense.
It's Mike DiCriscio.
How you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. I don't think I have the mathematical background to do that for you.
Yeah, we're going to need, like, some kind of, like, ridiculous high-level scientist to explain, you know, this entire franchise to me.
It's going to be the Inception-level timeline.
Yeah. basically, if you've never listened to an episode of Film Book Cast before, essentially we begin by talking about some film news and then move on to our discussion segment of the show, in which Mike and I each discuss whatever piece of media we've been consuming lately. And then finally, we will move on to our featured review. This week, we are reviewing Terminator Genisys, the latest film from director Alan Taylor and the fifth film in the Terminator franchise. Now, with that said, Mike.
Yes.
Let's kick off the show. Why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're on board. So, for film news, we have a couple of stories for film news today. So, in the past, Mike.
Yes.
I've expressed my enjoyment of the work of Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Yes, I know you are a fan.
Yes, to say that is a bit of an understatement. And I've also expressed my fondness for a small science fiction film series called Star Wars.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
No? It's pretty below the radar, I get it. You know.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
Despite your lack of knowledge of what Star Wars is, there's a character in the Star Wars franchise, and his name is Han Solo.
Okay, sounds lame.
And it's been rumored for a while that one of these Star Wars spinoffs is going to be like a Han Solo origin story.
Okay.
And Phil Lord and Chris Miller, directors of films like 21 Jump Street and Lego Movie, and also creators of Clone High, one of my favorite shows, are going to be directing this Han Solo origin story.
I can't believe you didn't deliver that in a more excited fashion.
You should have seen me when I first heard this news. So I literally like gasped. Like, I think I was sitting.
That's amazing.
I was sitting alone in my room. I think I was watching an episode of True Detective, and I like pulled out my phone for a second, scrolled through Twitter, and then had to pause True Detective because I saw the news and just had to be like, "Whoa!" and like was just reading stories about it for like 15 minutes. Yeah,
that's
amazing. It's pretty great. The thing is, a Han Solo origin story, to me, sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do we really need that, though?
No, we don't. But,
yeah.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller make movies exclusively out of bad ideas.
That's a good point. You're right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, they made the comedic reboot of an 80s TV show. They made the sequel to a comedic reboot of an 80s TV show. And they also made the movie based on a plastic toy.
Yeah. And it was better than all the other plastic toy movies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a high bar, yeah. So
yeah. I wonder if it's just going to be Chris Pratt.
I hope not. I mean,
I hope not too.
I love Chris Pratt. I think he's awesome. I think he would be a bad fit for Han Solo. I mean,
he already kind of is as Peter Quill.
Yeah, A, he's already Star-Lord, and B, like, I think people seem to draw the comparison between Chris Pratt and Harrison Ford a lot, like in Harrison Ford's younger days. I don't really see that much. I think character-wise, Star-Lord's a little bit like Han Solo, sure.
Yeah, maybe a tiny bit.
But
I just think because Phil Lord and Chris Miller are often very comedic, and he can be, and Chris Pratt is the action comedy guy right now.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I think if Phil Lord and Chris Miller are directing it, my choice for Han Solo would be Will Forte.
Oh my God! You take that back.
No, I think he would actually be great.
But that you just want him to be MacGruber the whole time.
I mean, that's the dream.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's probably not going to happen. From what I've heard, the Han Solo origin is going to be like a really young, like 20-ish year old Han Solo.
Okay.
So that would already like get rid of Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
You know. So. You know, who knows? I think, Phil Lord and Chris Miller are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think their body of work is some of the best stuff you can find today. And I think it's so weird that we're getting, like, we've got, like, five Star Wars movies planned out, and we know, like, directors and stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not even gotten the first one of the new.
It's not even out yet.
Of the new Star Wars movies yet. Yeah, it hasn't even been released. So it's a little weird to be speculating about this potential fourth Star Wars movie in. That comes out 3 years from now, but
That's what I was going to ask. So we know which one this will be in the order.
So this is coming out on May 25th, 2018.
Can't wait.
So that's the date. It's actually that was the release date that Josh Trank's Star Wars movie was supposed to be in. And it hasn't been totally confirmed, but his was theoretically the Boba Fett origin story.
Right.
And I've seen some people throw around the possibility that maybe the Han Solo and Boba Fett movies are actually the same movie. Like, they're both in the movie.
That would be awesome.
So, you know, who knows? I mean...
We've got 3 years.
We've got 3 years to find out. So, we got some time. Phil Lord and Chris Miller are going to be directing this, and this is probably going to put aside a lot of the other projects they've been signed on to. Among other things, they're probably not going to end up directing The Flash for DC.
Right.
And I know they were supposed to be doing, like, an animated Spider-Man movie for Sony.
Okay.
And nobody really knows what the status of that project is yet. Now, everything's kind of thrown into whack. A Jump Street sequel, who knows? Lego Movie 2, I knew they weren't directing, but they are still having a hand in the story. I guess they're still going to have, like, a hand in the Lego universe.
Right.
So that's good. And they'll still be executive producing Last Man on Earth, which is a great show that everybody should be watching.
All right.
I think that's about all there is. I'm a little curious who they're going to cast for Han Solo. Like, obviously, we talked about Chris Pratt as... Like, I feel like the thinking will be, yeah, Chris Pratt. Like, that makes sense. But, like, a more interesting casting choice would be...
Yeah, especially if they are going for that young of a Han Solo.
Yeah.
That would be real. That'll be interesting to see who they pick.
Yeah, get Tom Holland to do
it. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he's on the short list.
Yeah. All right, and that's it for the Star Wars news. And then I also wanted to briefly mention, so Ben Affleck, famous director/actor, is starring in a little movie called Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice, where he plays Batman.
Yes.
And will presumably also be starring in the Justice League movie as the same character, Batman.
Yeah. Is that's still happening?
So far, yeah. Unless Dawn of Justice, like, fails spectacularly, which... I don't think it will.
I don't think it will either.
Just because it's a movie that has Batman and Superman in the same movie. Like, you...
Yeah.
It's basically, like, it's going to make money no matter what.
Yeah.
But Ben Affleck is an actor who's playing Batman, but he's an accomplished director in his own right. Directing movies like The Town and Argo.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that people have been saying all the time since he was cast as Batman is maybe he should just direct his own Batman movie. And now that's what's happening.
And now that worked out.
Yes, Ben Affleck is going to be directing his own Batman movie, rumored for like 2018, thereabouts, which would be after Batman v Superman and the Justice League movie, or the first one.
Yeah.
The movie's going to be co-written by Geoff Johns, who is a comic book writer, who's actually written for Batman in the past. He's also a writer on shows like Arrow and The Flash, so he's got like the DC. He's basically like... I want to say, he's one of the head guys at DC Comics, actually. Like, he's one of the big guys there. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, that's cool. At least they're having someone who has comic book experience write for them.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And somebody who understands the character pretty well. So
that's
pretty cool. And I think Ben Affleck's a good director, so I think this will be cool. I'm more excited. I'd be interested to see Ben Affleck's Batman movie that he directed and starred in. But I'm more interested to see behind-the-scenes photos of Ben Affleck in a Batman costume directing the movie.
Oh my god. I didn't even think of that. That's amazing. Yes. He is the Batman.
Exactly, yeah. And so this movie's going to be coming out probably around 2018. There's probably going to be more information about this in Comic-Con, which is this weekend. And so we'll probably have more to report about this in our next film bookcast. But supposedly, Ben Affleck will be directing his next movie first, which is called Live by Night, which is a crime drama in Boston.
A shocker.
Classic Ben Affleck, right?
Yep.
and so he's going to be doing that, and then he's going to be doing Batman, I think, is the basic plan right now. And he's been trying to get Live by Night off the ground for a while. That was going to be his next movie after Argo. And it still will be his next movie as a director, but once he was cast as Batman, that took up like so much more of his time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Ben Affleck as Batman news.
I'll be more excited about this after I see Dawn of Justice and see how he is as Batman.
Yeah.
I trust that he'll be good, but that will make me more excited.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting. I think Ben Affleck is a pretty good actor and a pretty good director, so interested to see where this goes.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, this will be like, we're talking about a solo Batman movie. This will be the third time we see Ben Affleck as Batman. And we haven't even seen him the first time.
Yeah.
Which is just like the Star Wars thing. It's a weird trend where, like, studios are greenlighting movies, like, four or five movies down the line.
Right.
And, you know, we haven't even come out with one yet. Which is actually something that Terminator Genisys did.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's... the makers of Terminator Genisys, like, set release dates for Terminator Genisys 2 and Terminator Genisys 3 months ago.
What?
And, spoiler alert, those might not happen.
Save it for the review.
Yeah. All right. And then I also wanted to move on to the last piece of film news, which isn't about a movie per se, but this is a news that really upset me.
Mm.
The Dissolve, which is one of my favorite film websites, shut down after 2 years of operation. The Dissolve, I would say, was probably the best movie discussion site online.
Yeah.
Anytime you go on The Dissolve, you can find really intelligent, remarkable film discourse. And I've been a fan of The Dissolve since the beginning. I remember when it first started. It's been about 2 years. I remember I've been a big fan of the AV Club for a really long time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, half of the AV Club staff just left the AV Club. It was like Noel Murray, Tasha Robinson, Scott Tobias, Keith Ehrlich, and a whole bunch of others, Nathan Rabin. And they all just left the AV Club, and nobody knew why. And then, like, a month or two later, they revealed The Dissolve. It was, like, this big, you know, reveal that, like, nobody knew about. But it came out, and, like, from day one, it's been doing just this incredible film criticism that nobody else has been doing, I think. And so it's really a bummer to see that it shut down. Like, I guess financially just wasn't a viable option to keep going anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of what it seemed like from their blog post about it.
Yeah, and so... You know, I see the rest of the critical community is all really upset about this, too. Like, everybody loved The Dissolve. Like, they were a really important voice in film criticism for the last 2 years and changed a lot of opinions and really helped analyze a lot of blockbusters and smaller movies. Like, they brought a spotlight to a lot of, like, movies that wouldn't get the spotlight otherwise.
Yeah, which I thought was really awesome.
Yes. And I spent, once I found out, once I got home, it was on my computer... I just spend a lot of time just tweeting out some of my favorite pieces from The Dissolve from the last 2 years. One of which was one of my favorite pieces of film criticism ever was David Ehrlich's essay about Godzilla as the first post-human blockbuster.
Wow.
Which
sounds awesome.
Yeah. That was great. And also, there was a piece on The Dissolve that actually helped give me the idea for our other podcast, The Complete Works.
Yeah.
Nathan Rabin did a career view of Philip Seymour Hoffman a year after he died, and it's just a really, really long essay detailing every film in Philip Seymour Hoffman's career and how he evolved over time as an actor.
Wow.
And so that's sort of what kind of sparked the idea for The Complete Works with me, was to try to, like, analyze every movie in Nicolas Cage's career. And then also a couple of great reviews from The Dissolve. Scott Tobias' Birdman review, which started with the great line, Alejandro González Iñárritu is a pretentious fraud. It was a 1.5-star review. He tore that movie to bits. And also Matt Singer's review of Transformers Age of Extinction, which was amazing. And that was a great review. That was one of my favorite lines, which was, after declaring cinema dead, Michael Bay spends 165 minutes desecrating its corpse.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff like that and a whole lot of other great pieces. So if you're not familiar with The Dissolve, the site's still online. From what I understand, all of the writing and stuff that they did will still be online for the foreseeable future. Like, it'll still be like in an archive or whatever. So you can go back and read a lot of different stuff. But, you know, I don't know, it really bummed me out.
Yeah, that does suck. I remember, I think around last Halloween, they had a article that, or essay or whatever, that was like, or it started in October, like October 1st it went out. It was like 31 horror movies from 31 countries, like, to watch for all of Halloween.
Right.
And it was awesome because it's stuff that I would have never been exposed to.
Yeah.
But that, they had that on there and it was awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, they also had a movie of the week feature, which, like, every week they would choose a different movie to do a couple different pieces about. And, that movie varied so wildly. Like, they would do, like, I mean, they like, 1 week they could be doing, like, a Jean-Luc Godard movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week they'd be doing MacGruber.
Yeah.
And MacGruber was actually the movie of the week one week at the Dissolve.
Really?
That's like, awesome. Just to give an idea of how great the Dissolve was.
Yeah. No wonder they're your favorite.
Yeah. So, it really sucks that it's gone. But I know that the people involved, the writers, will, I'm sure, move on and do other great things, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, you know. So,
good for them.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. It's really a bummer. But anyway, I just wanted to pour one out for the Dissolve. one of the great sites out there. And I guess we should move on into our discussions.
Yeah, let's go on.
All right, so Mike, what do you have to discuss for us today?
So today I'm talking about this movie on Netflix I found called Hector and the Search for Happiness. It's kind of, I was going to skip it. It had the summary is like very like, oh, upper middle class guy feels stuck in life, goes on journey to find himself kind of thing. And I was like, whatever. But I saw it has Simon Pegg in it.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? I'll give it a chance because I love Simon Pegg. He's
sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, why not?
And it turns out it's actually really good. Like, it's pretty funny. It's like, because it's Simon Pegg, but it also has a lot of moments that are very touching and, you know, awesome. And I've never really seen that kind of range from Simon Pegg. I guess I haven't seen a lot of his movies outside of, like, the comedy ones. Like, you know, he seems to always play that kind of role, but in this one, he's, you know, kind of slapsticky, goofy, but also very real in some moments.
Okay.
So it came out in 2014. It's directed by Peter Chelsom, who also directed Serendipity, if that will give you any kind of idea. And it's based on a French novel by François Lalord of the same title. And it's kind of cool, too, because Peter Chelsom does some moments that are like Michel Gondry-esque, where it's like he'll be traveling and then it's just like random sketches and animation and like the plane will clearly just be like styrofoam on a string and it's like and they make that noise. So it's kind of cool and kind of goofy like that. And they draw direct references to Tintin and like that kind of like childhood fantasy kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And it also has a surprising amount of cameos in it.
Okay. Because
everywhere he goes, like he goes to China and then Africa and stuff, and he meets somebody that like shows him what happiness is, you know. And one of it's like Stellan Skarsgård and Jean Reno and Toni Collette, it's like all these really like cool people that I was never. And they're only in it for like 10 minutes at a time, so it was cool to have you know other great actors and Christopher Plummer's in it. It's like what, like just for a couple minutes?
Okay, so
it is pretty cool. And if you're just kind of want to feel good about life at some point, you check it out. It's on Netflix.
Okay, that is Hector and the Search for Happiness.
Yes.
And the movie I want to discuss today is called The Guest. This came out last year, directed by Adam Wingard and written by Simon Barrett. It stars Makem Monroe and Dan Stevens. Now, Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett also directed and wrote You're Next, which is one of my favorite horror movies
of that year.
And so I was really excited for The Guest. I finally got around to watching it a couple days ago. And I think The Guest is not as immediately satisfying as You're Next.
Okay.
But I think it's a stronger film overall. And I think there's a slow build in The Guest that quietly shows the creepiness of Dan Stevens' character. Essentially, the film is about Dan Stevens is like a military guy who was best friends with this one guy who died. And he visits that guy's family to talk to them and say, like, you know, he was thinking of you during his last days. And he ends up staying with them for a few days. But then things aren't all they seem.
Uh-oh.
And so Dan Stevens' character kind of, like, integrates himself into the family and, like, bonding with the younger brother and going to a party with the younger sister, talking to the mom, talking to the dad. The film takes a 180 in a completely different direction that I did not expect at all. And the climax is 20 minutes of just some amazing film geek moments. The lighting, cinematography, music, like,
wow.
just incredible. And so I think The Guest is a really incredible movie. And Dan Stevens is, like, terrific in it. Dan Stevens is probably most well-known for being on Downton Abbey. which is a much different show than than The Guest. So he plays a much different character here, and I think it shows like a lot of range that he has. I think it's a really interesting movie, and one that's like Your Next was sort of like a little jokey-ish. Like it's sort of like a horror comedy as a lot of times. And I think this is less of a horror comedy. But that said, like there's still like that weird sense of like zany anarchy going on. Like,
right.
Like you can tell how much joy the filmmakers are having while making the movie, and I think that kind of pours through and like allows you to feel joy yourself. So I think The Guest is really great. It's really worth checking out. It basically made me want to go and watch all of Adam Wingard's filmography because he's got actually a few movies that I have not seen, and they're all available on DVD. So that's what I'm probably gonna do.
There you go.
So anyway, that's The Guest. It's available on DVD right now. I'm pretty sure it's available on video on demand. I think it's coming to Netflix relatively soon. All right. With that all said, Mike, are you ready to move on to our review?
Yes.
Good.
Is it going to be the past or the future? I'm not sure.
It's going to partly... The review will partly take place in the past, and then it will move to the future. And then it'll probably move to the past and the future again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, guys. Come with us if you want to live for our review of Terminator Genisys.
God damn it.
I look at each of you, and I see the marks of this long and terrible war. If we die tonight, mankind dies with us.
The machine sent a Terminator back to the time before the war to kill my mother, Sarah Connor.
Sir, let me save her. What you're doing right now, this is the end of the war. I love to change the world, but I
time me going back to her, she was scared and weak.
Take care of her for me, Kyle.
Come with me if you want to live. Now, soldier!
It's all wrong. John sent me here to save you.
From the Terminator that was sent back to kill me, I know, but we already took care of him.
We?
I've been waiting for you.
That was from the trailer for Terminator Genisys, the newest film in the Terminator franchise. It's directed by Alan Taylor, written by Leda Kalogridis and Patrick Lussier. The film stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, returning to his iconic role as the T-800. It also stars Emilia Clarke, Jason Clarke, Jai Courtney, J.K. Simmons, Lee Byung-hun, and Matt Smith, among others. The official plot synopsis from IMDb, John Connor sends Kyle Reese back in time to protect Sarah Connor. But when he arrives in 1984, nothing is as he expected it to be. So that's relatively vague, but it's about accurate. So,
yeah.
Mike.
Yes.
Before we get into our review of Terminator Genisys, let's talk about our relationship to the Terminator franchise a little bit.
Okay.
So, you mentioned in your Jurassic World review your fondness for a film called Terminator 2: Judgment Day.
Yes,
I have. Give me like your analysis of the whole series, like right now.
Terminator 1 is cool, Terminator 2 is the best, and then the other ones suck.
Okay.
That's my 10-second review.
10-second review. Yeah, if you're listening to Fleet Works, we're just going to do this review in 30 seconds, and that's going to be it.
That's it.
Yeah, no, basically, yeah, I think Terminator 1 and 2, amazing. Like, I think those are both incredible movies in their own right. 1 is a great horror movie, 2 is a great action movie.
Yep.
The third one... I don't think it's that bad. Like, I think it's basically just a retread of Terminator 2.
Yeah, I kind of like that, though. The evolution of the Terminators, like, which is cool, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really long time since I've seen it, to put that in perspective. I think I probably saw it last when I was, like, 12 years old. And
yeah,
so,
that's impressive because it's on like TNT every other weekend or whatever. It's one of those movies.
Yeah. So I haven't really watched it in a really long time, but I remember liking it when I was 12. Sarah Connor Chronicles, the TV show. I watched that show, and that was a pretty good show.
All right, fair enough. I skipped that show. I never watched it.
I like that show a lot. And then Terminator Salvation is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I hate that movie to death. So
that's impressive.
Yeah, no, I remember coming out of the theater and thinking, man, that was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And I've held that opinion until this day. And then I saw Terminator Genesis.
Wow. Holy crap. I don't feel that strongly about it, but
I thought Terminator Genesis was the worst piece of shit. Like, like it's absolute garbage the entire time.
Okay.
But let's backtrack a little.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Give me your take on Terminator Genesis.
Okay. It's the same kind of what I said in the end of Complete Works. It happened. I watched a thing for an hour and a half. That's kind of I don't feel strongly either way. I thought it had some cool action stuff, I guess. Like, or mostly it blew shit up, and that's about as far as its action goes. But that's fun, I guess. And I don't know. I kind of have predisposed to enjoy, or I don't know how to say it. I want to like the Terminator movies.
Yeah,
so I kind of like, I give it the benefit of the doubt a little bit, and I'll let it go. But that said, it's not that great.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to list off everything that I like about Terminator Genesis, and then I'm going to get into what I don't like. All right?
Okay.
Number one, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is very good in the movie.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yes. That's the end of the list.
Not even Amelia Clark?
She was horribly miscast, I thought. Like, I thought she was really bad.
Okay.
That was like Mila Kunis in Jupiter Ascending level, like,
wow.
that bad. She's no Linda Hamilton. She's not even Alina Heady. Like,
yeah, that's true, I guess.
And otherwise, I mean, Jai Courtney is the blandest person I've ever seen in a movie.
He's white guy. That's all he's in. Yeah. That's it.
He's like the worst leading man since Sam Worthington. Like, really, like, this is the
guy.
But
at least he had Avatar.
At least Sam Worthington was, like, in Avatar and spent most of the movie as like a blue alien.
As not Sam Worthington.
Yeah, so I could like pretend that it wasn't him.
Okay.
Jai Courtney, I've seen in like three different movies, all in relatively prominent roles, and I can't remember what he looks like. Like, I just watched Terminator Genesis the other day, and I cannot give you like a read on Jai Courtney's face.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
And Jason Clarke, who I normally love, I think he's great.
Yeah.
Is given virtually nothing to do in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
And even when he does, like, I feel like it's just like the writing is just so bad that like he just kind of falls flat, regardless.
Yeah.
But he's great in like Zero Dark Thirty or Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I thought he was great in.
Yeah, he's awesome in that.
He's
kind of. Well, I guess I'll save it for spoilers. I guess. Never mind.
Yeah, and I think it's weird. I've seen a lot of people comparing Terminator Genesis to Jurassic World. Because there's some similarities there. They're both, like, Jurassic World was the fourth, this is the fifth. They're both movies in long-running franchises. Both of them rely heavily on your goodwill from the earlier movie in that franchise. Yeah.
This is basically, it's the same thing in Jurassic World of, remember how good the first one was?
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah, this is like, remember how good the first two Terminators are? Well,
yeah.
That's what we want to be, like...
Yeah, they just keep referencing it over and over, which is cool. I like the references are awesome.
I think most of the references fell completely flat for me in this movie. Whereas in Jurassic World, I think some of them kind of worked. I think you know, we gave Jurassic World a lot of crap in our review of that movie.
Yeah,
and I feel like we're in like the opposite section now because I was like sort of trying to defend it.
Yeah,
in that one, and you're sort of trying to defend this one.
We've switched
a little bit. I think Jurassic World at least had like a semblance of a plot, and and it had like a general thesis behind it. You know, it had the idea that like audiences want bigger, better. They, you know, it's about itself kind of thing.
Right.
This movie never stops to think about what it's trying to be.
It's just it's literally redoing the first two movies.
Yes, doing it. It's like kind of mashing them together and just doing them again.
Yeah.
For no reason. The film tries to act as like a reboot, and it kind of asks the question, like, what if Terminator 1 Sarah Connor was Terminator 2 Sarah Connor.
Right. That's, yeah, you're right.
And I, like, that could work. Like, that's sort of interesting. Like, there's, I think there's a couple of interesting ideas in this movie that completely fail in execution.
Like, such as?
Well, I like that one.
Yeah, okay.
Partly because I think Emilia Clarke is really bad as Sarah Connor. I think she's, like... And I don't dislike Emilia Clarke as an actress. I think she's good in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That's all I've ever seen her in, I think. But, you know, she's pretty good in that show.
Yeah.
But I think this movie pretty much states that nothing in any Terminator movie ever happened.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that possibly includes the one that I'm watching right now. Like,
we can only hope that, like, that never happens.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, you're watching this movie and they basically erase the timeline, and you're like, well, okay, what's to stop them from erasing this timeline? Like, why should I care about anything that's happening right now?
Yeah. You just need Arnold to technobabble it away.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like, half of the dialogue in this movie is just, like, technobabble that makes no sense.
But he's funny doing it, I guess. I don't know, because he just does, the deadpan version of it. But I don't know.
Yeah. No, there's nothing Terminator 2 is a movie that has a lot of comic relief moments, and some of them are a little cringeworthy, but, like, there's nothing like the scene in Terminator 2 where... After Arnold has sworn he won't kill anybody, he shoots the guy in the kneecaps or whatever.
Right.
He shoots him in the leg, and John Connor's like, you said you weren't going to kill anybody. And he's like, he'll live. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really funny, and that's, like, a really good moment in Terminator 2 for me. Terminator Genisys has nothing like that. The best it has is recreations of scenes from Terminator 1 and 2.
Right.
I think the most egregious is probably when... this happens early on in the movie, so I don't think it's a spoiler, but there's... A scene where original Arnold's, like, they have a CGI young Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was a terrible idea in Terminator Salvation, so I don't know why they did it again.
Because now real Arnold's there.
I guess, yeah. I mean, they had, like, CGI young Arnold Schwarzenegger recreating the scene where he finds those, like, gang members in the first Terminator and steals their clothes. Right? But then old Arnold comes in and, like, interrupts him, and then they fight.
Yeah.
I guess that's supposed to be, like, an awesome moment. Like, old Arnold Schwarzenegger is fighting young Arnold Schwarzenegger. But it doesn't work. I feel like it's just, like, I don't, you know he's fighting nothing. It's just CGI creation. Like,
that's a good point. You could tell.
Yeah. I mean, the effects in this movie, like, I don't think were anything special. Like, nothing we hadn't seen before. I feel like it's just not, like, it just felt like nothing. I felt like a lot of it just felt like a video game cutscene.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I did like the... Terminator 3, not the movie, but the third Terminator in this movie, which I guess I'll save for spoilers.
Okay.
But that, I like that effect. Not the liquid one, the other one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a big twist about halfway through this movie.
Yeah.
That we should save for spoilers. However, that twist is in every trailer for this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is...
They fucking blew it.
Which is like, what? Like, how did you do, like...
Yeah, it's another case for us being for wanting to be Unsullied, because it just ruins it.
Yeah, like, I remember seeing that in the trailer and thinking, that's probably, like, a huge spoiler, and then it was. Like, that's,
it was, yeah.
So if you haven't seen the trailer of Terminator Genisys, probably just don't watch it. You could also just not watch the movie.
Skip everything
entirely.
Although, if you watch the trailer, you'll know the whole plot, so you don't have to see the movie.
Also true. Yeah, I mean, it's weird, because... I feel like there's enough of a premise here where it's like, you already have the twist of, like, Sarah Connor is, like, really good at being
a badass. Yeah.
So that's already, like, enough of a twist to kind of make people interested in, like, a Terminator movie, I think.
Yeah.
Not that you really need one, because it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator movie.
Right. People are going to see it.
Yeah. Or at least that was the thesis. Apparently this movie didn't do that well.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's doing okay. I think it had a budget of $155 million. I'm looking at it now.
Okay.
And right now it's made 138.
So it's almost there.
But it's been out for almost 2 weeks.
True.
And, you know, they're relying on... Like, they need money in order to say, like, well, we should do two more of these movies. Because
yeah,
that was their original
point.
Plan. So I think they're basically relying on overseas box office now.
Right. I mean, it is the weekend coming up, so it could do it in the next this weekend.
Yeah.
From when we record it, so...
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I think, and also, like, Jurassic World is still making all the money.
Is it still at number one?
No, I think Inside Out was actually at number one.
Oh, okay.
And then also Magic Mike came out. There's a lot of competition against Terminator. I think it fell for that reason.
Yeah.
I saw somebody tweet that I had to explain to my 12-year-old self that I'm much more excited for the Channing Tatum male stripper movie than I am for a new Terminator movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Which is actually pretty accurate. I haven't seen Magic Mike XXL yet, but I've heard really good things, and I'm much more interested in that movie than I am.
I've seen the film Crit Hulk is all over Twitter about it. He's loving
Magic Mike. There's a couple crits I follow who like absolutely love it.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, there's one moment in Terminator Genesis that I felt was so tone-deaf and horrible, and I can't really talk about it until I get into spoilers, but I don't know. It just felt like the worst possible thing that they could possibly do in a Terminator movie, and we'll get to that. But, I don't know, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we get into spoilers?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, then that wraps that up. Let's move on into spoilers for Terminator Genesis. All right, we're moving into spoilers for Terminator Genesis. So the moment I wanted to say was so tone-deaf and horrible was the Bad Boys montage.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
There's a scene in the movie where Arnold, Emilia Clarke, and Jai Courtney all get, arrested and are, they're doing the pictures and, the profiles and stuff. And it plays Bad Boys, the theme song from Cops.
Yeah.
And it was so stupid and so out of place. It's sort of amazing, I thought, that happened. I couldn't even, comprehend that I was watching that.
I didn't really think of it that way. I thought it was it's funny, I guess, whatever.
I thought it was
But
really
it doesn't
bad.
Fit the rest of the movie at all, and you're totally right.
It's amazing. These really, shitty, lame attempts at humor that just don't work at all.
Yeah, all that does is set up the joke of Arnold can't smile, and they do that so many times in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny in Terminator 2 when it happens, but now it's not.
Yeah. And, I want to stress again, I think Arnold is doing great work here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played the character a few times before, so it's not like it's totally out of his wheelhouse. It's probably, it's kind of the joke to say well, Arnold Schwarzenegger's best character is the robot but still he really is he's a great Terminator. I love him in that role. And so to see him in the role again is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of gloss over the fact that he's really old now with one line of dialogue.
They explain it. Yeah.
It's human tissue. I think Jai Courtney says something why does he look so old? And be robot tissue ages the same way as human tissue. Don't ask about it again, okay?
Yeah, this is a lot. There are a lot of moments from, in Thank You for Smoking when Aaron Eckhart's pitching the movie and he's like, wouldn't the astronauts smoking in an all-oxygen environment make the ship explode? And Rob Lowe, as the movie producer, is like, it's one line of dialogue. Thank God we invented that oxygen machine. There's a lot of that going on in this movie.
Yeah, there is. Also, Lee Byung-hun is in this movie as a T-1000 early on for virtually no reason. I genuinely don't know why he was in the movie.
You remember Terminator 2?
Yeah,
that's
the entire, that's all there is. And if that's the case, why not try to cast Robert Patrick?
why not just watch Terminator 2?
Why not just watch Terminator 2? But, if you're going to go and say, hey, we have a T-1000, why not have get Robert Patrick in the role? You already have old Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why not have old Robert Patrick? What's the issue?
Because it's supposed to be in 1984, and there was not supposed to be a T-1000 yet.
But there was old Arnold Schwarzenegger in 1984.
They probably should have done that. That would have been awesome.
And then there's the big twist of the movie, which is that John Connor is a Terminator.
Whoa.
Bum, 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 bum.
God damn it. Did they even have that song music in this movie? I don't even remember.
Very rarely. I think they played it once during the movie and then again during the credits.
That's dumb.
Yeah, no, that should be in every scene. What?
Yeah.
And the thing is, I kind of like the idea behind the twist that John Connor's a Terminator.
Yes. Right?
Like, I sort of like that idea. That's one of the interesting ideas the movie kind of does. I think it's even a line of dialogue that Sarah Connor has, because, you know, we can't let things go.
Yeah.
We can't just let things go, over the audience's heads. Yeah. So she says, like, John was humanity's last hope, but now he's Skynet's last hope. And that sounds silly, but I think it's actually, like, a decent idea.
Yeah.
But I think the execution is so bad. Jason Clarke is, like, a decent John Connor up until that point. I think he's, like, generic...
military guy.
Generic military guy who's, like, last savior of humanity in every post-apocalypse movie.
Even Zero Dark Thirty.
Like, as John Connor. But, like, once the twist is revealed and, like, he reveals that he's a Terminator, like, he's given nothing to do. He's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Like, he attacks them sometimes.
Right.
But otherwise...
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, otherwise he's just there, and he's, like, a Terminator that can kind of, like, regenerate, like, cells or whatever, like...
Yeah, it's really weird. He's kind of like nano stuff going on.
Yeah, it's like not quite the liquid metal Terminator, but like a different kind of it can reproduce the skin kind of thing.
Yeah. The effect I really like with that is when it's like right after the reveal that they turn the MRI machine on and he's like trying to walk away from the magnet, and it's like it's him in different poses as the particles get pulled away from him.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was kind of cool.
That scene was really cool. But other than that, it's just like, oh, he's a Terminator that can regenerate. Which we've seen.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, that's, like... I don't know, man. That's... there's a decent idea for a twist, and they do nothing with it, I think.
And then put it in all the trailers,
which is, like... I mean, here's the thing. Like, obviously, I knew about the twist going in, because I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
But... Even if I hadn't seen the trailer and I didn't know about the twist, I feel like it would still fail on every level. Like, I think...
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a shock.
Yeah, and, you know, John Connor is not... that big of a role in this movie, is the thing. Really, the lead of this movie is Jai Courtney as Kyle Reese.
Yeah.
And he's the worst. I hate him so much.
R.I.P. this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this movie rested its laurels on Jai Courtney as Kyle Reese, who's super bland, and Emilia Clarke as Sarah Connor, who's ridiculously miscast. And then also Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he's, like... He's really more of a supporting role. Like, he doesn't have, like, a lead kind of thing.
He's not in it a lot, too.
Yeah, there's long stretches of the movie where he's not in it. And it's like, why? Why would you do that to this movie?
I thought the Matt Smith as Skynet thing was cool. But I don't get the jump that... How is he alive? How is he a person?
I have no idea.
A hologram.
It's like a weird personification of Skynet which exists.
Which, as the hologram thing, makes sense when they're in the Cyberdyne, like, facility. Like, that, I could get that they would, like, have an AI projection thing.
Yeah.
But when they go all the way to the future, or when the movie starts in the future, he's, like, a person. Like, that. I don't know. And they never explain how that jump gets made.
Yeah, there's so many unanswered questions in this movie. Like, this movie is trying to, like, answer certain questions, and then it, like, raises, like, 50 more for every question that it answers.
It's written by the guys who wrote Lost.
Yeah. No, it was actually written by Patrick Lussier, who wrote Drive Angry.
Who thought this was a good idea? What?
Yeah, I mean, and I kind of like Drive Angry, but like that's...
We're going to have to watch it eventually.
Yeah, for our complete works, yeah.
Yes.
And also Leda Kologridis, who... Is actually, she wrote Shutter Island.
So there's okay. That. No wonder there's a twist.
The twist in Shutter Island isn't that great either, but... Like,
it's fucking way better than this one.
It's fucking way better than this. I mean, I love Shutter Island. I think that's a great movie.
Let's not knock Shutter Island.
Yeah, let's not... But, it's no Terminator Genesis. This is like... I don't know. I just felt like Terminator Genesis was like the absolute nadir. Like, I do not want to see... Like, I... Last podcast, I was saying, like, I have this weird devotion to the Terminator franchise.
Yeah.
Because I love Terminator 1 2 so much. And now I feel like I never want to see another Terminator movie in my life. Like,
wow.
Like, I feel like I'm done completely with this franchise.
Because the last two were that bad.
Yeah, Salvation was really bad. I hated Salvation, but I probably could have rebounded from that.
Yeah.
If this movie had even, like, the slightest sense of what it wanted to be.
If it wasn't just cashing in on, like, nostalgia.
Yeah. Terminator Genesis, is arguably worse than Terminator Salvation. It's tough for me to make that call, because Terminator Salvation I have not seen since it was in theaters, and that was 6 years
ago.
So it'd be a difficult call, but I think that movie has a story.
Yeah.
Like, it has, and it actually does something relatively different for the Terminator franchise, which is set the entire thing in the future.
Yeah.
You know, there's no crazy time travel nonsense going on in Terminator Salvation, which is kind of nice.
Like, which is cool. That movie, I do like that.
Yeah, that movie fails on virtually every other level also, but, like...
It tried something.
It tried something different.
Yeah.
You know? And also, the PG-13 rating for Terminator movies, it has to end. Like, it has to end.
I don't get it.
Like, Terminator 1 and 2 are R-rated movies, and they're awesome because of it. Like, those... I think that allows those movies to kind of feel more visceral and more, like, real.
Right.
And this is just some crappy PG-13 fest of, like, CGI and nothing. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Also in this movie is J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
I want to see the movie about his character, because...
Why is he there and then does fucking nothing? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, like, he encounters the Terminator in 1984.
Yeah, as, like, a rookie cop.
And then we meet him 30 years later, and he's still obsessed with this thing that happened to him for, like, 5 minutes.
That's pretty life-changing shit.
30 years ago, though. Like,
yeah, but robots from the future, like, that would blow your mind.
Yeah,
you would now be that guy with the tinfoil hat and the, like, the robot, like, the aliens are coming.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's true, but, like, you know, I just want to know what his life was like for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, what has he been doing with himself? Has he just been, like, walking into rooms and saying, like, I think this was Terminators?
Yeah.
Because that's what he does here.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he's kind of played purely as comedic effect.
Yeah.
And, like, that could have been something awesome. Like, I think. They had put, like, if they had done that not as, like, oh, look, he's a crazy drunk cop guy that thinks robots are coming. If they had played him as somebody that was, like, I don't know, prepared for something to happen instead of just, like, oh, they're going to believe me now. And that's kind of it. Like, he could have done... So. I mean, I guess he helps them get to the roof in that one scene, and that's...
Yeah, like, he does virtually nothing in the movie, and that's kind of the problem. Nobody seems like they do anything. Like, everything seems like it's in service of the next, like, action scene or something.
Right.
And then also, none of the story makes sense. And also, there's a young Kyle Reese who shows up, and that's super weird, I think. There's, like, a scene at the end where, like, old Kyle Reese talks to young Kyle Reese and says, remember, Genesis is Skynet. But the thing is, you just stopped Genesis.
Right.
So why should he have to remember that?
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah. And, like, how come he can talk to young him and, like, not explode and be vanished from time?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works? Every other movie has said that.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I guess that's true also. I mean...
I don't know. Let's just poke as many holes as we possibly can.
I mean, in any case, I hated Terminator Genesis. I think,
yeah,
I think it's the absolute worst, worst movie I've seen this year. Worst movie in the Terminator franchise. Like, Alan Taylor is a director that I kind of had hopes for. I think he can do some good stuff. He used to be on he used to direct Game of Thrones. He's a big TV director to get Game of Thrones, Mad Men, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and he left Game of Thrones to direct Thor: The Dark World. A couple years ago.
Okay.
And
that was good.
Yeah, that movie was decent. But afterwards, after he directed that movie, he, like, basically said to everybody, like, I hated working for Marvel. They controlled everything. Like, I had, like, very little final say. And then he went on Terminator Genesis, and from what I understand, it was the same thing. So it's like...
it's like, what are you doing?
Like, maybe just make a decent movie. You're like, well, what are you doing?
Go back to Game of Thrones.
Go back to Game of Thrones. It's really, like... Because he's a really good director... on television, like, I feel like I've seen him do a lot of really good stuff, but you know, in this movie, there's, like, nothing here that's, like, really that impressive. And even Thor: The Dark World, like, it's not, like, that movie's decent. Like, that's a fine movie that has no visual style whatsoever. I think
maybe that's his style, Meg.
No visual style.
He's just generic. He's the Jai Courtney of directors.
Yes, perfect pairing.
Yes.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about Terminator Genisys before we wrap up, Mike?
No, but maybe should you make your pitch for Game of Thrones about who they need to cast now?
Oh, yeah. So, So, obviously, Emilia Clarke's in this movie as Sarah Connor. And Lena Headey is on Game of Thrones, who's also played Sarah Connor on the Sarah Connor Chronicles TV show. And so, really, we just need Linda Hamilton to be cast in Game of Thrones. I think it's what needs to happen.
Then they could call it Game of Connor. Game of Connors.
Game of Connors. I like it.
That's what needs to happen.
Yes. yeah, I mean, you know, just have, like... All right, here's what I picture. I picture, like, at the end of the show, Daenerys shows up at King's Landing, and it's like a face-off between Daenerys and Cersei. And then all of a sudden, Linda Hamilton comes in with a machine gun. And destroys everything.
That'll be awesome.
And then she wins. I feel like that would be great.
Linda Hamilton runs Westeros now. Yeah. that's what I'm calling.
Yep. All right. So, tune in to Game of Connors Sundays at 9 on HBO. And so, I guess that about wraps it up for a Terminator review. Yeah. So, Mike, where can we find more of your stuff on the internet this week?
Find me on twitter.com/mdfilmblog.
Okay, you can find me at twitter.com/msmithfilmblog. You can also find my work at filmbook.com, where I podcast about several different shows, like The Walking Dead, Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a whole bunch of stuff. And also check out our podcast, The Complete Works, which is our in-depth look into the career of Nicolas Cage. If you'd like to advertise with us or sponsor us, please email advertise@filmbook.com. You can donate and support this podcast by clicking the donate link or contribute once or twice every month. Any and all feedback, compliments, topic discussions, even hate mail can be sent directly to podcast@filmbook.com. Please list the podcast you're emailing about in the title of your email, because, as I said, we produce so many different ones. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to the show, guys. Next week, let's check out our Complete Works review of Rumblefish, Francis Ford Coppola's Rumblefish starring Nicolas Cage. Should be pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that one. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be doing our film bookcast review of Ant-Man.
Yes.
So, Mike, are you excited for Ant-Man?
Yeah, my yelling wasn't evidence enough.
yeah,
this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I was very much on the fence about Ant-Man for a really long time because of the Edgar Wright debacle.
Right.
But everything I've heard about the movie sounds like it's right up my alley. It sounds like it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I trust Marvel at this point. Like, I think they, even if it's not going to be an Edgar Wright quality movie, it could still at least be a fun time.
They know what they're doing at this point.
Yeah. So look out for that. Ant-Man Review Film Bookcast and Rumblefish for the Complete Works. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to Film Bookcast. We are out.